The Haftorah that we begin this week is the first of the Shiva Dinechemta, as Chazal referred to it, the seven Haftorahs that follow Tisha B'Av. We know prior to Tisha B'Av, the Haftorahs we read were known as the Gimel de Peronusa, three Haftorahs that speak of punishment, speak of suffering, of Churban, and right after Tisha B'Av, we now segue into this Shiva Dinechemta, the seven Haftaras of consolation. A very, very fascinating thought that Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz has in his commentary on Haftaros. He says, perhaps the Shiva Dinechemta, after all, why seven consolation Haftaras and only three Peronos Haftaras? He suggests that the seven consolation Haftaras really represent the 7 days of Shiva. And a very interesting thought. He said that you would think that right after Tisha B'Av is done, Churban has been commemorated, has been remembered, has been mourned, and now we move on. We're done. He says that's not the right attitude. The attitude is that, yes, we've finished the mourning of Tisha B'Av, the Avelus, the observances of Avelus, but much like when someone passes away, there are 7 days of Shiva afterwards, which really serve as not just a observance of mourning, but they serve as a week of comfort because you talk about, you think about, you remember, you hear about, you learn about. The 7 days of Shiva are a period where you perhaps think more about and come to some form of comfort after suffering a loss. So to be said after Tisha B'Av. We can't just forget about it and move on. We did our Churban, we did our Avelus, now we're ready to go on vacation. Venus Manam is here. Now we go and we go hiking throughout the Wild West or the up northern Israel. We go on our Tiyulim. He says that we can't just forget Tisha B'Av. We have to recognize that now comes the Shiva Dinechemta. Now comes that 7 week period where we think about, we come to terms with, we still remember, we still mourn in a certain sense, but we're also comforted by, of course, the seven Haftaras that are Divrei Nechama. So that's the introduction that he offers to this Haftarah. But his point is that we should take advantage of the opportunity because the 7 weeks that we now learn about the seven Haftaras Dinechemta lead us right up into Yom Neraim, Shabbat Shuva, and it's really a week of, 7 weeks of still feeling our feelings to the Beis HaMikdash, those feelings still linger, our connection to Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim. That's what leads us into the period of Dveikus, of Tshuva, of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And we look now at the Haftarah, of course, the famous first pasuk of the Haftarah, Perek Mem in Yeshaya, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, where Yeshayo Anavi instructs Nevi'im, he instructs prophets in Klal Yisrael, says Rashi, to offer words of comfort to Am Yisrael. Meaning, it's not that Yeshayo is saying to Klal Yisrael, be comforted. Rather, Rashi says the pshat is, he's telling Nevi'im, I want you to comfort my people. You, the Nevi'im, should offer words of comfort to Klal Yisrael. Now, what's interesting is that this Nevu'ah of Yeshayahu Navi is long before the Churban. Yirmiyahu was the Navi who lived during the time of Churban. Yeshayahu was before that. And he's predicting what will happen, but he's offering words of comfort in advance of the Churban. Also an interesting idea. You would think that after Churban, you give Nechama. Yet he's preparing Klal Yisrael for the Churban. He's already giving words of Nechama long before the Churban. It's almost as if, suggests Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz, that you know a punishment is coming. You know that a child is going to be punished, and you're thinking already in advance, how will I ensure that this punishment can be managed, can be recovered from? Now, as you're planning in advance how to recuperate from those difficult times that you see are yet to come. So this Haftarah, this Nevu'ah of Divrei Nechama, is being given well in advance of the actual Churban. That itself is just an interesting thought. The forethought, the foresight to offer Klal Yisrael the chizik and the means to manage a difficult nisayon before it actually begins. Rav Gamliel also suggests further that perhaps a subtle remez to what this nechama consists of is in the pasuk itself. Nachamu, nachamu ami, yomar elokeichem. The words ami and elokeichem imply relationship. My people, I am your God. Even despite the churban that's going to be coming, difficult times ahead, but that relationship is still tight. There's never an abandonment. There's never a forsaking of that father-child relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never forsakes his people. Nachamu, nachamu, ami, derive comfort from the fact that you still are ami. Yomar Elokeichem, your God, that relationship is still strong. That always remains, despite the nisyonos that you are bound to encounter in the coming generations, the coming years. And many, many Meforshim obviously note the double lashon, the nachamu, nachamu. What is the significance of the double lashon? The repetitive nature of the message of offer comfort, offer comfort. So the Medrash Rabbah in Megillas Eicha says the following. The Medrash Rabbah in Megillas Eicha says, we find that Klal Yisrael sinned in double measure. Chet chata Yerushalayim. We find that they were punished in double measure. Look at the next pasuk in the Haftarah. It says, Ki lakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatoseha. That Klal Yisrael has taken from God double in punishment corresponding to its measure of sins. So the Medrash Rabbah says, so too, umisnachamim b'kiflayim. The measure of comfort will be double. Nachamu, nachamu, ami yomar lokechem. So what the Medrash is alluding to is that the words nachamu, nachamu are implying you've suffered greatly and the comfort will be just as great in proportion to how much one has suffered. There'll be an equally significant form of consolation of Yeshuas Hashem that follows the suffering. And perhaps sometimes when people go through Yisurim, it's so difficult at the time, but one should think of the message here that the more difficult the Yisurim and the Nisayon, so to an equal extent, the Yeshuas Hashem, the Nechama, that will one day be appreciated, is going to be just as significant. That's one approach, perhaps, to the double lashon here, based on that Medrash Rabbah in Chazal. A second suggestion made by Rav Ephraim Zaitchik is the following, in his Sefer Kol Tzofayich. He says, we find in the famous pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that we quote in the Yom Nirom davening, HaBein Yakir LeEphraim, Em Yelet Shashuim, Ki Midei Dabri Bo, Zachar Es Kerenu Od, Al Kein Homo Mayelo, Rachem HaRachamenu Ne'um Hashem. There also, Rachem HaRachamenu, a double lashon, Rachem HaRachamenu. And the Yalkut Shemoni there in Yirmiyahu, that's in Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Aleph, Yalkut Shemoni there asks, why Rachem Rachamenu twice? We say it every Yom Nirayim in Tzivos Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Why Rachem Rachamenu twice? So the Yalkut says, Rachem means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachamanus on Melech HaMashiach when he was chobosh bebeis ha'asurim. He was confined, imprisoned. What exactly that means, I'm not entirely certain, but I guess at some point, Mashiach is restrained, he is locked up, he's confined, Kadosh Baruch Hu has a rachamim on him, and then a rachamenu, a second rachamim, after he emerges from Beis HaAsurim, when despite the fact that all these malchios, these nations of the world, will rise up against him, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Al tira mehem, don't be afraid, rachem arachamenu, I had rachmanos on you then, I have rachmanos on you now as well. And perhaps suggests Rav Zaitchik the double emphasis there, Rachem Rachamenu meant, I had Rachmanos on you, Bebeis HaAsurim, I had Rachmanos on you now as well. Well then perhaps here too, Nachamu Nachamu, also, at all times, there is an ongoing Nechama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers Klal Yisrael. It's not just once, it's a constant, never-ending process of Nechama, guarantee of Nechama. So suggests of Zaitchik this emphasis, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. So let's look now. Before we go on, actually, one last thought on that double lush, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. This is cited by Rabbi Leo Schlesinger, in the name of Yisrael Salanter. He says, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. When someone is suffering Yisurim, so there's two ways that perhaps one might think to offer that individual Nechama. Not saying that this is always the most effective way to go about it, but in theory, you could perceive of two possible forms of consolation. One might say, well, you know, it might be so tough and so difficult now, but it's going to be short term. It's coming to an end. There will be better times thereafter. You're almost there. That's one form of nechama. Another form of nechama, which again, maybe not always advisable, but maybe a person themselves might think, you know, I'm going through hard times, but look how much I have compared to somebody else. Look how much better off I am than somebody else. This type of a nechama is, to put it maybe bluntly, it could have been worse. Again, not always is that the most advisable way to be nacham somebody, but someone himself might take that as a form of nechama. You know, I have a difficult time for whatever reason, but I look at that person, this person, and I'm so grateful for what I do have. Two types of nechama. So Rabbi Solomon just suggested, perhaps that's shot here as well. Talking to Klal Yisrael, nachamu, nachamu ami. The Yisurim are difficult. And this is my little addition, perhaps I'm not sure if he meant this, but we know that David HaMelech speaks of sheer mizmor la'asaf. Elokim bo goyim benachal asacha, timus hechal kachacha, samus yushlaim li'iyim. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, a song to Asaf that the goyim entered your hechal and destroyed Yerushalayim. And the Gemara in the Medrash asks, Shir Mizmor LaAsaf, Kina LaBayalei. That's a song, that's a kina, that's terrible. You're singing praises to Kadosh Baruch Hu that the Goyim entered the Heichal, the sanctuary, and destroyed it, Yerushalayim. How's that a shir? How's that a Mizmor? And the Yalkut says, the Medrash says that David Melech is saying, Klal Yisrael were deserving of utter destruction themselves because of their sins. Kadosh Baruch Hu instead decided to destroy just a building, a Heichal. But Klal Yisrael endures. Klal Yisrael survives. Meaning, the sheer mizmor la'asaf is an acknowledgement that it could have been so much worse. God forbid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu berachamim spared us from that far worse possibility, gave us the koch to endure, to survive. Through difficult times, yes, but there still is an appreciation of a form of nechama in that acknowledgement. And then the second acknowledgement is nachamu nachamu ami, that this is short-lived. This is Golus to be followed by Geula. Like I mentioned in the last kina, the Elitzion kina, Kamo Isha Bitzireha. We said the pshat is that when a woman is undergoing the terrible pains of childbirth, so what's the nechama that she has? She sees beyond that. She sees what's going to follow. The incredibly wonderful time of the simcha and the light that comes with the birth of the baby, that gets her through the difficult times of the labor, the child pains, child labor pains. And so to hear the nachamu nachamu ami, on the one hand, the appreciation that Klal Yisrael suffers terribly, but Kadosh Baruch Hu Berachamim has given us the koach to endure. It could have been worse. And on the second hand, the fact that this is a short-lived, relatively speaking, gullus, that Geula is short to follow. And that's also a source of nechama. So suggested Rabbi Saul Salanter. So move on now, just for look at the psukim, try to take some groups of psukim at a time. The next few psukim, pasuk beis. First, Dabru alev Yerushalayim v'kiru eleha ki malatzva'a ki nirtza avona ki lakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatoseha. So the Malbim here comments interestingly as follows. Malbim says, we know from Chazal that Geula might come in a number of different fashions. Either, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, bi'ita, there's a pre-scheduled time when Geula will come no matter what, or it could come sooner. It can come in an expedited fashion. If Klal Yisrael are zocha, they do tshuva, then Geula will come sooner. So, on the one hand, suggests the Malbim, he says, ki mal'atzva'a means that there's a set time. The time is up, Geula comes. Or, ki nirtza avona, the sins have been forgiven. If Klal Yisrael does tshuva, and there's zocha to Geula earlier, Geula will come faster. And then finally he says, Ki lakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatoseha. Sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu, much as happened in Golus Mitzrayim, where it was supposed to be 400 years, it was compressed into 210 years, it was an expedited Golus, so to speak. So too, it could be that our Golus as well. Due to perhaps the intensity of the Yisurim, lakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatoseha, twice the measure of punishment that you would have expected, that also perhaps intensifies the process of Geula and brings about a speedier redemption. So the Malbim sees in this one pasuk, Dabru alev Yerushalayim v'kiru eleha, speak words of reassurance to Yerushalayim that Geula is at hand, because of either one of these three possibilities, Malat Tzva'a, the time has come, Nitzav Ona, you've done Shuva, you've been Zocha to an earlier Geula, or Lakcha Miyad Hashem Kiflayim b'chol chatoseha, that you've received more punishment in more of an intensely expedited sort of fashion, which has also therefore expedited the Golus as a result. The next few psukim, Gimel, Dalet, and Hey, it's a paragraph in the Navi unto itself, speak of a voice proclaiming in the desert, Panu derech Hashem, Yashru ba'arava, Mesila lo'lekeinu. Flatten out, straighten out the road to our God. Kol gayunasei, any valley will be raised up. Kol harve giva yishpalu, any hilltop, mountain will be lowered. V'hayohe akov lemishor v'har chasim levik'a, that the crooked ways will be straightened out, the higher places will be lowered down into a valley. And then everyone will see, all flesh will recognize the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that God has spoken. So on the one hand, the Pashup Chat here, Rashi says, is that the Novi is describing how the road to Yerushalayim to facilitate the expedited ingathering of Klal Yisrael will be made so much more easier to access. It'll be just smoothened out. The mountains, the hilltops, the valleys, the crooked roads, everything will be straightened out. It's interesting, you know, you look at Highway 1 in Eretz Yisrael now, they've bored through mountains to widen the highway to make the access from wherever you come from, Tel Aviv, Ben Gurion, into Yerushalayim, much more expedited. It's fascinating to see how, you know, all around you there's hilltops, valleys, then there's a high one that goes straight through into Yerushalayim. Panu derech Hashem, clear away, Yashu Barava, straighten it out, Mesila Elokeinu, a road leading straight into Yerushalayim. That's the Pashtus, Rashi says, of the Pesukim here. Now, Biderech Hadrush, the Gemara tells us there is an allegorical meaning here as well. When the Pasuk speaks of Kol Geyinasei, Kol Har Vegiva Yishbalu, any valley will be raised up, any mountain will be lowered down. So Pashtus says, yeah, the roads will be made smooth. The Gemara, though, in Adarim says the following. The Gemara in Adarim says, on Daf Nun Hey, that if somebody arrogantly elevates himself, acts with arrogance and with gaiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lower him down. And if he then does tshuva from that arrogant attitude he once displayed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will raise him up again. And the Gemara quotes this pasuk, Kol Geyinasei, every lower valley will be raised up. Meaning if someone conducts himself with modesty and humility, he'll be elevated. Someone conducts himself with arrogance, he's a har, he's a giva, he's a mountain, Yishpalu, God will lower him. So the Gemara interprets this to be not just a reference to the geography of the roads leading to Yerushalayim, but to the midos of a person. A person acts with a degree of haughtiness and arrogance, Kadosh Baruch Hu will put him in his place. Person acts humbly, very modestly, Kadosh Baruch Hu will raise him up. And it was both Rav Pam Zatzal, just to name one, but I think it's Rav Shimon Shrav as well, referred to the Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Yoram Abayz. The Gemara there says that Yosef, son of Rabbi Yeshua, became suddenly very, very faint, very, very sick. He became very weak. He fainted, it seems. And when he recovered, his father said to him, you know, what did you see when you were in that dead faint, when you, guess you had lost consciousness? What did you see? Famous Gemara Bava Basra, Yoram Abayz. So Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, says, Olam hafuch ra'isi. I saw a world that was upside down. Why? Elyonim lamata, tachtonim lamala. The people who we think of as elyonim, prominent, respectable, in the next world that I glimpsed momentarily, they were the ones at the very bottom of the totem pole. Whereas the people we think of as tachtonim, we look at these people today in this world, we think of them as just a lowly, simple Jew. He's a tachton. He's lower down on the totem pole. In the world that I glimpsed, I saw him lamala, the very top of the list of respected, admired people. I saw an olam hafach, an upside down world. So Yeshua says to his son, no, olam bara ra'isa. You saw a perfectly clear perspective of what's real. We live in an olam hasheker. In olam hasheker, what's respected, money, power, influence, fame. But in the olam ha'emes, what matters most is the midos, is the avodas Hashem that sometimes is not appreciated in this world by so many. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal used to describe how when he was a cheder boy in Khaslavich in Russia, he said the cheder Rebbe rented a room in the house of a carpenter, if I'm not mistaken. Like a simple laborer. Reb Elia der Stolier, he said they called him. What does stolier mean? It's like a distolier, Reb Elia der stolier. I think it was like a thing, he says carpenter. And the cheder boys and the Rebbe were in one room, and he would work in his wood shop in the next room. But Shlomovitcher, who was a boy at the time, said that this Reb Elia, this simple Pashto Jew, said Tehillim by heart the entire day, as he's working. He said Tehillim by heart the entire day. And every time he finished, like a project, he had a special pasuk from Tehillim that he said as a Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the finishing of this project. Kol HaNeshama Tahalalka, Halaluka. And he would daven Yom Nirayim for the Amid in Chaslavich. And his father, Moshe Shlomovitcher, said to him, he said, this Reb Elia Destolya, I think he's a simple Pashto Yid. This is one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. This is a man who every move he makes is with Shira, V'tishbachos, Tehillim on his lips. So someone who you look at in this world, think of, oh, he's just a Pashto Yid. That's the Olam Hafuch. This world is the Olam Hafuch. In the next world, Olam Baru Isi. You'll see exactly how special these Jews, who you perhaps didn't appreciate in this world, really, really, really are. So if Pam said, this is a beautiful message for the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av. We finished off mourning Tisha B'Av, 9 days, 3 weeks, mourning the Churban Beis HaMikdash, destroyed by Sinas Chinam, people looking down at one another, not appreciating the value and significance of every single Jew. We speak now in the Navi here of the Olam HaEmes that we'll appreciate, the Olam Barur, where those who are exalted in this world will be lowered down. Those who are low down in this world will be raised up and exalted. It's a message to appreciate the value of every single Jew. Never to underestimate any Jew. In the words of Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel, Ben Azai says, Al ti baz l'chol adam. Never disparage any single person. As much as you might not appreciate what that person is really worth, it doesn't mean that he's not a very, very special and deserving of respect and admiration. And we just don't perhaps always appreciate as much as we should. And ultimately, the Pasuk then says, V'nigla kvod Hashem v'ro kabasu yachtav. Then everyone will see the kvod Shemayim. Because God has spoken. Kipi Hashem diber. Moving on, the next series of psukim, just the next few psukim, Vav Zayin Ches, speak of how all flesh will be like grass. Dry up, wither away, because God has blown on them. And God's word will last forever. A reference, Mepharshim say, to the Goyim that seek to attack Yerushalayim. They'll wither and dry away like Chatzir Yavesh. That's a phrase we have in the Yom Nirayim, post-Nisanat Tokef Tefillah. Ketzitz Novel, Kechatzir Yavesh. That's these psukim here. This dried, withered grass. The Goyim who attack Yerushalayim will wither away. Pasuk Tes, Yud Aleph, begins with a famous call. Al har gavoa alilach mevaseres Tzion, harimi bakoach kolech mevaseres Yerushalayim. Ascend to a high mountain, you who informed Tzion of the upcoming redemption. Raise your voice loudly, mevaseres Yerushalayim, you who informed Jerusalem of the upcoming redemption. Harimi al tirai, raise your voice. Don't be afraid that maybe it's not going to come true. Call out to the Ore Yehuda, Hinei Elokeichem. God is right here. And then the psukim speak of God ruling with strength, but at the same time, like a shepherd, shepherding his flock, carrying his lambs, his young animals in his hands. Beautiful, beautiful thought that Rav Leo Schlesinger writes. Why is it that when you are addressing the Mevaseres Tzion, the Mevaseres Yerushalayim, to proudly and loudly proclaim the Geula is at hand? So why Al Har Gavoa Alilach? Climb up onto a high mountain. So Pasha Pshat, you'll tell me, well, if you want your voice to be heard further, you climb to a higher vantage point so that you can yell and the whole valley hears you proclaiming whatever you have to say. Rav Schlesinger added another beautiful point. He said, sometimes to appreciate Geula, to appreciate the unfolding of redemption, you have to have a broader perspective. You have to climb up to the mountain from which you can look back 150 years and see what was in Eretz Yisrael, and then look now and see what is. If you look at what you have in front of you, you won't appreciate fully Geula unfolding. If you are the Mevaseres Tzion, the Mevaseres Yerushalayim, Al Har Gavoa Alilach, climb up to the very mountaintop and then look all around, 360, see what was, see what is. Look at the unfolding of Jewish history and how it has in our days, miraculously, suddenly transformed the landscape of Eretz Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael, the population of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. And then you'll be better able to proclaim the upcoming impending Geula, Mevaseres Tzion, Mevaseres Yerushalayim. Don't be afraid of saying what's happening. Al Tirai. Beautiful thought, very pashut advice, but so, so true. To fully appreciate and to be excited about what's happening, you have to look back and see what our great-grandfathers had and what we have, and how remarkable it is that, whereas for 2,000 years, pretty much nothing changed so dramatically as it did in the past 150 years. It's a remarkable observation. As a prerequisite for Geula, you have to recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is right here. Hine Elokeichem. The more we recognize that God is right here in our midst, the more we appreciate our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and acknowledge it, then the more Kadosh Baruch Hu in turn is more likely to bring the Geula. Hine Elokeichem. Look to see our Kadosh Baruch Hu right here amongst us. And that will be the necessary prerequisite for Geula. And furthermore, the belief in Geula, when you hear the Mevaseres Tzion, you hear the Mevaseres Yerushalayim, you hear that Geula's impending is coming, we're almost there. That is what then brings about the actual Geula itself. One last concluding thought. Pasuk Yud Aleph, although we're not anywhere near the end of the Haftarah, but out of time. Pasuk Yud Aleph speaks of Kiro'eh, Edro, Yir'eh, Bizra'o, Yekabetz, Tol'im, Uvecheko, Yisa'alos, Inahel. The description of a Kadosh Baruch Hu like a shepherd leading his flock, not just leading his flock, carrying in his arm the young lambs, carrying them against him, kiviyachol, so to speak. That's the image that the Pasuk paints of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a caring, loving shepherd. The Rambam, when speaking about a manhig Yisrael, a melech, writes in Hilchas Malachim, Perek Beis Lachavav, that a leader in Klal Yisrael has to always conduct himself with incredible humility. Says the Rambam, Moshe Rabbeinu tolerated the difficulties of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar for so many years. The Pasuk refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as a ro'eh, as a shepherd. And the Rambam then quotes this Pasuk. How does a shepherd conduct himself? Like this Pasuk describes it. Holding his young lambs in his arms. The anava, the humility, the patience, tolerating even what is difficult at times to tolerate. I was overhearing one of my kids watching a video yesterday of describing of David Schrenk, Alav Hashalom, Rosh Hashiva in Adelphia, of Camp Monk, and the remarkable, remarkable ava that he had for every Talmud, even though he was an individual who, in his yeshiva, took in Talmidim who most of the yeshivas refused to accept. And they described, his wife was describing, not just his love for Talmidim, but his incredible patience for his Talmidim. And she recalled one incident when one of his Talmidim was upset about something. And as I said, these were students who very often were not accepted to any other yeshiva. And this perhaps is why. She sees from a window this Talmid confronting her husband and literally slugging him in the jaw numerous times, yelling and screaming, lost his cool, lost his temper, and was punching her husband in the face. And she was so shocked, but more so by the fact that her husband just stood there and did nothing. Stood there and did nothing. And she asked him afterwards, like, why didn't you do something? And he said simply, it's not his fault. He has an anger management problem. I shouldn't love him as a result. I shouldn't see him for what he really, really is. I mean, an incredible degree of anava, of patience. I mean, superhuman in that regard. I'm not sure how anyone else could have reacted in that same way. But someone who expressed his love for his charges, much like this roa, this shepherd, who cares and carries for his charges in a loving, loving fashion. To conclude,